We will recap last week's election results in Wisconsin and talk about what they mean for state government and state policies in this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, November 12th. Why did Wisconsin vote the way we did, and what does it mean? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, has been digging into these questions and has some answers, we hope. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So, why did Wisconsin vote the way we did?
It's given the proximity that we've had to other elections that went, a much different direction, it's a question a lot of people are asking. We 2010 was about as Republican a year as we have ever had. And then we are a rare state that had election in June. And that election went very strongly to conservative candidates. And so to have November be, for at least for statewide candidates, to have November be a big Democratic day, it's an interesting question.
Yeah, so we have Governor Walker reelected in the failed recall attempt earlier this year, and then we have Congressman Paul Ryan picked as the vice presidential running mate of the Republican candidate for president, and, well, I don't know, maybe trounced is too big a word, but President Obama handily defeated that pair.
Yeah, you had to assume that part of the reason that Mitt Romney picked Paul Ryan is because, it definitely energized the conservative base. And, so that was a factor for Mitt Romney. You saw a bump in, his approval after the Paul Ryan pick. But Paul Ryan comes from a swing state that Republicans haven't won since Ronald Reagan, and a swing state that they have narrowly lost. And so there was a thought that Paul Ryan could put them over the hump here and at least deliver Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes, and it just didn't happen. And, and obviously you look at the statewide numbers, it wasn't close in the presidential race. But then if you dive down into his district in Rock County, President Obama won Rock County by almost 19,000 votes. Now, it's a Democratic county. He should win that county. But that's a sizable margin. It's a larger margin than, Scott Walker lost in Rock County in June. Different elections, different turnout. But, you can kind of go on down the line. Kenosha County, President Obama won big. That's another one where Scott Walker actually narrowly won Kenosha County in the recall. So counties that were in Paul Ryan's congressional district, they didn't win the day for them.
Well, I'm assuming, Sean, that we had in this election a lot more Democratic voters going to the polls than we did during the recall election.
Democrats always do well in presidential elections in Wisconsin. I mean, you have that higher turnout model. Around roughly 3 million voters, roughly 70% turnout. When that happens, you see different results at the top of the ticket. The gubernatorial recall election was high turnout for a governor's race, but it was not presidential level turnout. So you turn out a different kind of voter for these races.
Well, a lot of the polls in Wisconsin had it right that President Obama was going to defeat Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. The polls with the U.S. Senate race with Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin and former Governor Tommy Thompson seemed closer. And even in some cases, the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert poll had Tommy Thompson leading, at least in that point in time.
Yeah. And while Barack Obama was leading in the presidential race. If you look at the Senate race, there were quite a few polls that showed Tammy Baldwin up. But there were enough, especially toward the last minute there. NBC Marist, Wall Street Journal poll is, a fairly sizable sample of likely voters. And they had a closer race. A number of other polls had a closer race. But Tammy Baldwin ended up winning her race by 4 percentage points, fairly comfortable margin for you know, Senate race like that. It wasn't one that the networks could call in that 8 o'clock hour after the polls closed by any means. But, you know, as you look back on it on history, it won't look like it was a nail biter till the end.
Yeah. So how did Tammy Baldwin win?
Well, you know, Tammy Baldwin ran, I think, what most people would regard as a pretty disciplined campaign, meaning she decided what she was going to be about this year for her election. And she stuck to it pretty much from the time that she announced her, you know, her bid for Senate all the way through the campaign and even on up until election night. And, you know, the end result is that in Tammy Baldwin, you have, you know, it helped. It not only helped Democrats hang on to their majority in the Senate, but given that they picked up other seats, they actually increased their edge. And so Tammy Baldwin will be part of a Democratic majority in Washington. And her supporters were, you know, elated on election night.
I am well aware that I will have the honor to be Wisconsin's first woman U.S. Senator. And I am well aware that I will be the first openly gay member. But I didn't run to make history. I ran to make a difference.
So you heard Tammy Baldwin there mentioning some of the firsts in this race. She's first woman senator from Wisconsin and the first openly gay U.S. senator. And that's something that wasn't talked about a lot in this race, certainly not by the candidates, but it's something that, you know, a lot of people are talking about now. National news networks are kind of taking notice of what happened in Wisconsin. And again, this is, you know, what an interesting year we've had in Wisconsin, because Scott Walker's victory in June was watched nationally and heralded by conservatives as a sign that our side is winning, we're moving forward. And, you know, Tammy Baldwin's victory, I think, for liberals, progressives around the country, they're going to look to what happened in Wisconsin and say this was a sign of progress.
Mm-hmm. And what about Tommy Thompson? How did this one-time very popular former governor of Wisconsin lose?
Well, I mean, I think Tommy was asking the same thing after election night. He sounded, you know, genuinely crestfallen after the results came in.
I gave it my all. I mean, I don't think anybody worked as hard as I did. Over the weekend, I put on 1,200 miles in a bus with my family, and yesterday flew all over the state with Scott Walker. I thought sure we were going to win, and I really thought we were going to win easily. I had no doubts in my mind when I woke up this morning that we were going to win the election, and I was really shocked.
You knew from the beginning that Tommy Thompson's strategy against Tammy Baldwin was, we're going to define her. We're just going to tell voters that she's the most liberal member of Congress. She's been ranked as such on you know, nonpartisan analyses of you know, congressional voting records. This is what we're going to talk about. And my strong statewide support, coupled with her being a liberal from Madison, we're going to win. And so when Tommy Thompson emerged from a crowded four-way primary, very tough four-way primary, and, you know, was basically broke, he went off the air for a while Tammy Baldwin, who had been saving up her campaign cash, went on the air and told voters what she was about and started driving home that message about Tommy Thompson that, you know, since he's gone to Washington, he's not for you anymore. And you have those two competing negative messages that the candidates were making in this campaign. And you know, Tammy Baldwin's won the day, and Tommy Thompson was never really able to recover from that. You had a really just a huge swing in the polls from during the primary or right after the primary, showing Tommy way up. And then suddenly, you know, he had a deficit from which he never really recovered. And not being on the ballot for, you know, 14 years and, I think taking Tammy Baldwin for granted ended up hurting him.
So, Sean, we reelect a Democratic president in Wisconsin. We send the first openly gay woman with Tammy Baldwin to the U.S. Senate. Yet in Wisconsin state government, we, at least in the state Senate races, Republicans were able to regain political control of the state Senate. Now, how does that happen?
Yeah, at the state level, it was, you know, just a great night for Republicans, really. They had a big edge in the state assembly going into the night, and they left with a big edge in the assembly. I mean, they're going to have a 60-seat majority next year.
We will talk more about some of what that's going to mean for state legislation in just a few minutes. And in fact, in our next half hour, we also will talk with Democrat Peter Barca and Republican Glenn Grothman about what legislation is on tap. And I know you have some of that for us, too. But what does this do these election results tell us about future elections?
Well, we have a few coming up. And if you're talking about big statewide contests that are going to get big turnout, Scott Walker is up for a regularly scheduled election in 2014. And, you know, we can take a break talking about elections at some point here, but it's the week after. So we'll talk about elections. In 2014, you're going to have a lower turnout than you saw, this past week in this presidential race. And so, you know, Democrats won't be able to count on that turnout model to help them, I think, is one thing you have to look at. Also, there's no consensus candidate at this point to run against Scott Walker. So I don't think Democrats can look at what just happened last night and say, you're next, because you don't have a candidate, different turnout model. Scott Walker has a huge fundraising machine. So, you know, I'm not sure that you can look at it and say, aha, here's what's going to happen. And 2 years is a long way away, too. We don't know what's going to happen with the state economy. If we're in some type of recovery, maybe he does well. If we continue to languish behind other states, that could hurt him. So,
yeah. So how come we don't have the turnout in a gubernatorial race? Are voters just sort of
just
never
do.
Excited?
Yeah. I mean, we just never do. There's just more interest in a presidential contest than there is in a gubernatorial contest. People know and care more about
even in Wisconsin.
And we do all right by other state standards as far as the number of people who turn out for governor's races. But we do especially well when it comes to presidential races, and so we just don't come close to that.
Well, we'll continue talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson about last week's election results and what it means for Wisconsin in the near future. We'll welcome your questions and input, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a cloudy, cold day today with some scattered light snow. Highs will be in the low to mid-30s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Coming up, we will talk with a couple of legislative leaders in the state of Wisconsin about what's on tap, including the state budget, mining, jobs, and more. We will welcome in Democratic State Representative Peter Barca, who is the Assembly Minority Leader, and Republican State Senator Glenn Grothman, who is the Assistant Majority Leader-elect in the state Senate. That's coming up as our state capitol report continues after this 7:30 news. Right now, talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. We're digging into these election results and trying to figure out what they mean. And Sean, Dave in Mount Horeb wants to know about the impact of redistricting on the state Senate and wonders if the Democrats got more votes but fewer seats because of redistricting.
I think the effect of redistricting was very evident in the state assembly. To have a year in which the top of the ticket for Democrats does very well in a presidential level turnout and to emerge the way the two parties did, I think that's a sign that the Republican map was at work. And that's just an obstacle that Democrats are going to face for, a decade to come. And I think at the assembly, the map was very evident, and you saw it. I mean, it was in play for all 99 districts this election, and so you can get a good idea of what that looked like. In the Senate, the two districts that Republicans were able to pick up the 12th, which is in northern Wisconsin, which was won by Republican Tom Tiffany. That was a moderately Republican district to begin with. The map made it a little bit more so, but Tom Tiffany's winning edge up there, and I don't know, but it might have carried the day in the old district's lines. The Jessica King, Rick Gudex district in Oshkosh Fond du Lac was the other one to flip to Republicans, and that one changed less under the map, but it was a very close race, so it may well be that that the map had something to do there. I mean, we're talking just hundreds of votes in I think 80,000 plus casts. So, you know, the map may have been a factor there. As far as measuring the map and votes cast for Democrats, you know, if you look at all the races cumulatively, I don't know if you can make that comparison because not all the districts were up this time. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of an imperfect measure to say you won more votes because we don't know how they did statewide in Senate elections.
Well, the state Senate, after a special election in December, will be 18-15 Republicans over Democrats.
Yeah.
And that means that, for the most part, any Republican-backed legislation is going to pass.
It means, you know, Republicans can lose one of their members and still pass, you know, controversial bills. So,
Dale Schultz, Republican,
yeah,
opposed the original mining bill, and
mm-hmm. And he opposed some others. I mean, there mm-hmm. was a bill that would have changed, you know, when I guess it would have basically cut off that second round of recalls, the way that Republicans wanted to rewrite the language of redistricting. And Dale Schultz, you know, stopped that. So now, I mean, it's not like Republicans can do anything they want. If somebody else joins Dale Schultz in siding with Democrats, they can still block legislation. But it's a lot easier for Republicans 18-15 than it would have been 17-16.
Boy, we have more to talk about and very little time, so let's take Chris in Maguanago, who has a question that we need to talk about. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. I'm wondering what is Mr. Johnson's take on the fact that Governor Scott Walker hasn't been willing to set up the insurance exchanges ahead of time, and what does Mr. Johnson think will happen now at the end of the year and going into the beginning of 2013 with respect to insurance exchanges for the America.
Thank you very much, Chris. So what about those health exchanges, Sean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to force the governor's hand, and so he faces, or the state of Wisconsin faces, a November 16th deadline to inform the Obama administration whether the state's going to implement an online healthcare marketplace or exchange, or if they're going to let the federal government do it. And we know from the group Citizen Action and Open Records requests that they did that basically a state run plan has been in the works, that the state could, or the Walker administration could, go to some type of a state run plan. But nothing formal's been announced yet. I mean, that's
and if
that's
the state
Citizen Action's
doesn't
there.
Do this, if Governor Walker could say we're not going to do this, and then the feds come in and they set it up, the feds will set it up.
They do. The thing is, then there may not be a type of exchange that the governor would like. I mean, right now he's in the position where he can choose the shape of this thing. So. You will know the firm answer to that very soon.
I think I even heard that he might even announce that today. Is that right?
Oh, okay.
See, I heard a little birdie told me that. We'll
right,
see. Maybe
right.
I'm wrong. What about what is going to be first on tap for state legislation, Sean? Now that we have full Republican control of our state government.
Well, next year is a budget year. We have a biennial budget in Wisconsin, so around February, the governor's going to introduce his budget, and then the legislature's going to pick over it for a few months, and you know, with Republicans in control of everything, likely pass something by early summer. And so Scott Fitzgerald, the new, or I guess better to say, once again, Republican majority leader in the Senate, was asked, you know, about his priorities, and he called that basically priority number one.
I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that the governor's office is probably working on in regards to the state budget that I'm not necessarily privy to, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, eventually, I think that the legislative leadership will be brought into the fold. I mean, from my perspective, though, first and foremost, I think that this budget has to be in balance.
And that the what you heard Senator Fitzgerald say there was a common thread, you know, that he said throughout just a little conversation with reporters there. We're going to let the Walker administration take the lead on that. It's just you saw it last session. Governor Walker set the agenda, and that's what's going to happen in the coming agenda. I mean, that is the form of government we have right now, a very strong executive. And, you know, the legislature is largely going to let him take the lead.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go. We actually have another election coming up in 2013 for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes, we do. And the Supreme Court elections have turned out to be, you know, high dollar affairs and, you know, very important in terms of what's gone on with state policy. And already we have three potential challengers who want to take on Justice Patience Rogensack, one of the court's four conservative justices. Dane County Judge Marianne Sumi has said she might be interested. Sumi's is the judge who initially blocked the governor's collective bargaining law. Lemon Law attorney Vince Megna says he's interested, and Marquette Law professor Edward
Alone, yeah, one of our weekly review guests. We'll have to think about that now. No, that's great. Sean, we're out of time. Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll be continuing to postmortem this election for some time to come. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. We'll talk more about state politics with two lawmakers after the news.